Should be on now. What? Okay. We're here to celebrate Easter. Going to have a great time doing it. You'll notice I'm up here today. This is different. And the reason is I needed cheat sheets today. Okay, I needed notes. And so it's hard for me to have those in my Bible. So I just decided I'd be up here today. So it's a little different. But, you know, as we're thinking about the Last Supper, you know, those who came to the Good Friday service, you know that we spent some time thinking about it. But just to recap, to remind you of all the events that took place in the week prior, you know, Jesus came into Jerusalem with the great Palm Sunday and the shouts of Hosanna, you know, praise the King. And people were celebrating Jesus, and he spent the week teaching in there in Jerusalem. And finally climaxed in going to have the Lord's Supper, what was initiated and became the Lord's Supper, where Christ met with his disciples. He broke bread with them one more time, in essence, proclaiming his sacrifice, proclaiming the fact that he would become the sacrifice that was needed to redeem all of mankind. Yet the disciples had still kind of went over their head. They didn't get it. He took the blood, the cup. He said, "This is the new covenant, my blood." Again, indicating his sacrifice, his shed blood. But it kind of went over his head. After the supper, they went on over to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus there agonized about the experience that awaited for him. I don't know what he knew. You know, I sometimes wonder, how much did he know of the experience that he was going to have in the next 24 hours? How much was he aware of? But he agonized with sweat drops of blood in the garden as he prayed, as he struggled with what was to come. And his agony just sapped the strength out of him even. As he struggled with God, and he went out, and what did he find? He found his disciples asleep. You know, I'm one of those disciples. It's what would have happened to me. But I just think about that. The disciples, and then there was the betrayal of Judas. In the midst of the garden, as Jesus had been praying, he concluded that time, went to his disciples, and there came Judas, the betrayer. And he betrayed him with a kiss, not a slap in the face, not a point, but with a kiss. The disciples at this time were confused. It was images running through their mind, racing. What is happening? Why are these men here? What's going on? Why are they arresting Jesus? Confusion hit them, and they scattered. They went running off, fearing for their own lives at that point. Jesus was taken and he was questioned before the Sanhedrin. And as he was questioned, they brought false accusations. Finally came and asked him, "Well, are you the Christ?" And Jesus said, "I am." And he was found guilty. Guilty of being the Christ. As a result, he was mocked. They spit upon him. And they mocked him. They beat him, the first of several beatings. He was taken to the Roman authorities, to Pilate and to Herod. And there he had more interviews, experienced more mockery, experienced more people questioning him. And as a lamb taken to the slaughter, he went willingly. He was turned over eventually to the Roman guards, where one more time he was beaten. Cat of nine tails whipped upon his back. Skin ripped off his body, the blood flowing down. He was mocked. And eventually they placed upon his head a crown of thorns. The blood flowed down. He was led to Golgotha, where he was executed upon a cross. Nails in his wrist, nails in his feet. He hung in front of the people for 6 hours. Struggling to breathe even. Having to raise his body up to breathe. And every time he did so, the pain would rack through his body from the nails in his wrist. Putting pressure upon his feet that were agonizing because of the nail that was stuck there. And after 6 hours of hanging, he finally cries out, "It is finished." He breathes his last. And he lets go of his spirit. He is declared dead. And the death is to confirm by jabbing a spear in his side, as if the rest weren't enough. That's where we left the story on Friday. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. In verse 42. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant for it to be the next paragraph. On the screen, screen's incorrect. I gave him the wrong numbers. But I want to start reading in verse 42. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. It was preparation day. That is the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb, cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that today we can experience not only the agony and the pain that Christ went through and understand what he was willing to sacrifice for us, but we also understand the victory that lies ahead, the hope that you provided for us through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will guide my words. I pray that you'll open our hearts, prepare us for what we're to receive, and may the seed of your word go deep in our hearts and grow. And may you be honored in all that's said and done. In Christ's name, amen. You know, 5 years ago, we were kind of in the similar situation where it was Good Friday. 5 years ago, do you remember what was happening? COVID. COVID came out. Churches, as well as other institutions, ball games, sporting events, meetings, weddings, all sorts of public events were canceled, were put on hold. The government had asked us to respect the fact that this would be something that would pass quickly, and they asked us to stay in our homes for 2 weeks. And they closed down the houses of worship, and some states went even further, made it even worse. They kept on agonizing it. They wouldn't let people even gather outside. Some churches were very, very, very unfortunate. But COVID hit, and people went into some despair. It ended up being these states of loneliness. We've still coming up and discovering the consequences that came because of our reactions to this virus and the fear that we experienced. That fear, that depression, that loss of hope, that sense of isolation. So much so is the same that the disciples felt that day as they watched Jesus hung upon a cross and taken down, buried in a tomb. Everything was over. All the things that they had dreamed of were over. When I reflected upon all this, I, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, that's not where the story ends. And I was reminded of a sermon I'd heard many years ago. I got a tape, someone gave me a tape, and I listened to it. A guy named Tony Campolo. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's actually a quite famous speaker. He's an author. He was a professor in a college. And he was very, very well known. But about 40 years ago, he came out with a sermon. He had preached it other times, I'm sure, and he's preached it several times since. I don't have that tape anymore. I gave it back to the guy who let me have it. But I pulled it up online, and I can hear bits and pieces of it, similar to what I heard. Apparently, he did the sermon several times. It's the way preachers are. When they get at something good, they hang on to it, and they use it often. And that's the way he did, because he traveled around. Well, he tells a story, you know, and he comes to the point. He says he grew up in Philadelphia, in a little part of it, and in that neighborhood over the years, from his growing up, it had changed, and his church changed too, as the community changed. He grew up in this neighborhood, and as time went on, it transitioned to an African American community, mostly about black population. And you know, Tony and his family, they stayed there. And I guess probably as he married and stuff, he made that his community, his home. He still felt at home there. And he attended a church, and that church had changed over the years too, and it had become a predominantly African American community, or church. And I don't know, have any of you ever worshipped in a black church, in an African American church? Yeah, a few of you. You'll know what I'm talking about. You'll know. Hopefully you'll understand this. You can help me. You can help me in my sermon. You know, that's what he tells them. He says, if you've never been there, he says the women have a thing, and I want you to practice, okay? The women, they hold up their hand. Hold up your hand and say, well, come on. Well, all right. And the guys, they sit there and they stand there and they say, preach it, brother, preach it. Okay, come on, guys. Preach it, brother, preach it. Yeah. See, so you're going to have to help me in this part, because as the sermon goes on, you know, and I relate Tony's experience. He says one day he was at the church and they were having a preach-off. Now, that's not something we tend to do in the white churches and stuff, in the white culture. But what they did is they get four or five of the preachers up here, and they just let them each have a turn preaching, okay? And it gets better. You know, it starts off kind of slow. He said that, you know, he used to give sermons, and he said that one time, one sermon that he was given, he said, you know, he had a bad day, and he was really struggling. He said he knew he was struggling when one of the ladies stood up in the back, raised her hand, and he says, help him, Jesus! Help him! Okay. So I'm going to tell you, Alice, you better not stand up and say, help him, Jesus, okay? All right? You let me be. All right? But he said in this particular day, you know, the preaching had been pretty good. And when it came his turn, he stood up and he started preaching. He was on. He was on target. He had a message, and it went well. And he preached, and he preached really with all his heart, and he was just exhausted by the time he finished. He went over here, sat down next to the pastor, and he leans over and he says, there you go. Let's see you top that. And the pastor puts his hand on him and says, son, you done well. You done well, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay? So that preacher stood up, and for an hour and a half, he preached a sermon with one line. It was a little more as he embellished it each time he did it, but it had one central line. Now, I want you to not worry. I'm not going to keep you for an hour and a half. Okay. But I want to tell you some of what I've heard in that sermon. Now, as I looked into it, and as you may have even heard parts of the sermon before, Tony's version kind of changes every time he tells the story. So he embellishes it somewhat. And I went back and I found another version, okay? The same basic theme, but it was a pastor. His name was S.M. Lockhart. He's the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, which was a prominent African-American church in San Diego. And he pastored that church from 1953 to 1993. 40 years! How do you guys like to put up with me for 40 years, okay? Okay. Well, listen. Okay, this isn't going the way it's supposed to, okay? Well, I can't imitate a black pastor, but I'm going to give it a shot to do what I can, okay? And you guys help me out as you can. This black pastor stood up, and he began his sermon. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming.
Preach it, brother, preach it.
It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and the Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood's dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday, and the earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan is just laughing. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard and a rock rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. That's where he stops. But here's the thing to understand. It's just like that. We see the grave closed. And oftentimes in our lives, we come to places in our life where we've hit the struggles, and all we see is the grave closed. We don't see anything forward. We can't see the next day. We can't see what's beyond. We can't see the hope. The disciples were often overwhelmed and confused, just like we are. The events surrounding them that day caused them despair. And sometimes we come to that point in our lives. And it seems, as we think about COVID and the things that happened there, as we think about this past year in particular, it's been especially hard, I think. We've had several deaths among our members and our community, among our friends, among our families. There's been a lot of grief. There have been many who have gone through struggles and multiple surgeries and doctor's appointments. And the thing I have to say, Sunday's coming. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." It's Sunday. The earth is shaking. The angel shines like lightning. The stone is rolled away. It's Sunday. The guard shook like dead men. The angel spoke, "Don't be afraid. He has risen." It's Sunday. Peter and John run to the tomb. The grave clothes are folded. The tomb is empty. It's Sunday. The women encounter Jesus. They are afraid, yet filled with joy. The master speaks. They worship a living Christ. It's Sunday. Two men walk on a road, joined by a third. They talk. He explains the prophets. He explains the suffering Messiah. They break bread. Their eyes are open. Their hearts burn within them with hope as they realize their Lord is risen. It's now way past Sunday. Peter fishes with others in a boat. From the shore, he calls out to them. Peter knows who it is. He confesses. He receives forgiveness. His love is affirmed. Peter preaches. Thousands of lives are changed. The living Lord continues to change lives today. We struggle each day. Yet Christ has a message for us. Just as he went to Peter and he said, "Come. Come, Peter." He's calling to you today. Come unto me, all who are weary, all who are thirsty, all who are stumbling in the dark. Come unto me,
I'll give you rest. I'll give you light. I'll help you drink from the river of life. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Oh, 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 won't you come? Come unto me, all who are weary, all who are thirsty, all who are stumbling in the dark. Come unto me, I'll give you rest, I'll give you light, I'll let you drink from the river of life. Come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Oh, 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 won't you come? Oh, won't you come? Oh, won't you come?
The truth is, Jesus is calling. He calls to each one of us, and he offers us hope, the hope of the resurrection. The resurrection is the central truth of the Bible. Without it, we'd just be another cult, another religion, another group. We wouldn't have a hope. We wouldn't have a promise. We wouldn't know that there's something more than just this life. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know Sunday is coming for every one of us. And I hope as you go from this place today that you will rejoice in the hope that Christ has revealed to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for just allowing us to be here. Thank you for the hope that you've presented to us and the reminder that even death cannot conquer Christ. But he is risen, he has brought us together, and he's filled our lives with light and with hope, and he's offered to us the river of life. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.